The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The worst teammate ever?
I think he might be.
He's in a team photo of worst teammates?
Yeah, maybe people have other ideas, but we got to dissect just how bad of a teammate this is.
Nate Davis came in this morning. His back tightened up on him. He saw Andre the Trainer before the game.
He saw Andre the Giant, too.
Andre the Giant picked him up. First Andre the Trainer saw him, and then Andre the Giant picked up Nate Davis and escorted him out of the building.
He hails from Grenoble in the French Alps. He weighs 520 pounds.
Andre the Trainer.
A living and healthy Andre the Giant would be so great for the Bears offensive line right now.
Two positions?
No, I'm just going to make him the left tackle.
Now, Australian Art Kamina. It's over!
I'm just gonna make him.
No, you gotta hand Andre the ball on a fourth and goal.
Have to fall forward.
It's empty, 450 pounds, falls forward.
He can't handle a handoff, though. If they execute it right, maybe.
Yeah, Caleb wouldn't put him over.
Well, you like Hogan?
Hulk and I kind of looked at each other, and I said, what are you thinking? He goes, not today, brother.
He'd walk in at 7:30, read this TV, and say, doesn't work for me, brother.
Seriously, Andre doesn't have the foot speed for tackling, you know.
It is a kind of an interesting thing of, like, instead of grabbing the ball, he just grabs Caleb and runs Caleb into the, because, you know, giant
yes.
Man.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
Like he picked up the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like accidentally, like not on purpose, just like he's clamping down on the ball and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, young fellow.
No more screens, and I mean it. Anybody want a peanut?
Andre the Giant, a barrel of beer to get drunk, sometimes too.
Hello, pretty lady.
Anybody want a peanut?
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
If you have not gotten enough of this show, and quite honestly, how could you say that you have? Friday, you should join us at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha for the return of the Brat Bowl. Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi will broadcast live from 10 to 2, followed by this show from 2 to 6 that afternoon. We'll be joined by special guests and hosts from The Fan in Milwaukee as the shows gear up for Chicago versus Green Bay. Also, the Brat Stop will be open at 8 a.m. for breakfast. So that's Friday, 10 till 6. We're broadcasting all day long, and it's brought to you by Ziegler Subaru in Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaru.com and Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
During that conversation yesterday about Andre the Giant and the Bears with Chris Tannehill, who cut that open, and Shane Reardon, a texter said, you know, Andre had a tryout with the Washington football team, and it got me to look it up. And the tryout didn't actually happen. Andre chose not to risk his wrestling career, but there was a press conference. There's a photo out there with him and Joe Theismann together that I know does exist. And apparently George the Animal Steele told Dan Steinberg of the Washington Post on a podcast that the Washington football team wanted to sign Andre the Giant to play as a linebacker on field goals and extra points, to stand up and kind of wave his arms like a giant. And they thought that would be great publicity for them and for us together. But it didn't get that far.
I love that, though. Hey, you got to think out of the box sometimes.
7'4". Let's go ahead and put him on the field.
He's not getting any leverage calls in those situations.
He doesn't need leverage.
That's right.
Where we're going, we don't need leverage.
He's just going to stand straight up. Now tell me.
Yeah.
So the news of the day, and we are glad that you are here for it.
And not caught in a hit and run.
That's right.
Thank you.
Shane Waldron is out. We have been discussing it all afternoon long with a whole bunch of different guests that have been on the show. And we've been discussing it with each other. This idea of the Bears making this change is a little bit surprising because there is no precedent for it, which honestly gives me some good feelings about other things that there's not precedent for.
Yeah, it's insane. They've never fired a head coach in the middle of a season, and they've never fired an offensive coordinator in the middle of a season, as bad as the offenses have been. You know, there have been a couple times that people left. Gary Croton left late in the year to go, I think, was it to Missouri he was going to, wherever he was going. So, like, and I think Terry Shea left midseason for something, but there's never been a flat-out firing ever for an offensive coordinator in the middle of the year until now.
Well, he earned it. Like that's the part of this that I think is really important. He earned this firing. The way that this – the opportunities that were given to him by the Bears to get right, the players going to Eberflus and be like, what is this? And him being open to the feedback, and I give him credit for that because that does take a level of maturity that not a lot of people would have. But for them to play like they did against Washington and then follow that up with the way that they played against Arizona, and for there to not be some sort of substantial change going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, simultaneously watching their offense do what your offense should be doing and doing it effectively enough for them to beat you at home.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't overcome that. And you start talking about credibility for the head coach. If Matt Eberflus even wants an opportunity to hang on to whatever shred of credibility he has left, it was going to have to happen this way.
I think that's true. I think that's true, but I don't know that there's really much credibility left. It feels it's a week late on the Waldron front, but I personally think like the Eberflus credibility and authority is also already gone. I think it's already toast. 8 coaches that have either been fired or left in the last 14 months from his staff. A team that has questioned him openly, him only using accountability when it seems to be a desperate plea to try and give the people what they want way after it should have come up, him using the buzzwords and such and making all these situations worse. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine any scenario where Matt Eberflus saves his job. We were here a year ago, which is what's crazy. Literally 53 weeks ago, we were here.
Well, he went 4-2.
He went 4-2 with a defense that was clearly turning the corner and had shown some incredible play and unity under his leadership.
It's a weird place for polls to be where, let's say, you don't make the playoffs, but over the next 8 weeks, you see growth from the quarterback. If your polls and you go, well, wait a minute. Yes, this guy was on staff, but he wasn't hired for the job that we gave to a guy that we had to fire 10 weeks into the season. How do you evaluate that when you're looking at your coach? Now, obviously, you're looking at the entire thing. And if it's me, he's got to go. Matt Eberflus has to go so far above and beyond to save his job at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a position to fire him, he would have to do, like, they would have to go on an epic run. And if the quarterback does get better, I'm still like looking side eye at him being like, wait, we interviewed him, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, 100%.
And you thought that the other guy was better
yeah.
than this? who knows how it turns out? But all of those things have to be in question. And even if you just want to look from the scoreboard part of it, looking at the record of it, I don't know how you can have so much faith in a guy who's had to churn his coaching staff the way that he has without actual results. Like, there are no results that have come on the backside of this.
No. Have there been any other offensive coordinators fired this year in the NFL other than the two guys Matt Eberflus has hired?
That's amazing.
Luke Getsy fired for, you know, in Oakland for a second time.
Shocking.
And now Shane Waldron. I don't think there's been any other.
The Jets OC, right?
No, it's just those two.
That's right.
Because Jets OC.
They took play calling away. The Jets OC got demoted, but not fired.
Firing's just those two, the two last offensive coordinators that Matt Eberflus has hired.
Come on, man. Come on.
That's pretty bad.
You don't give a defensive head coach who has had this much chaos a third offensive coordinator.
I agree with you, but he's got one.
In midseason here, just because they don't have the cojones to get rid of a midseason.
Caleb's going to have two different head coaches and three different offensive coordinators within his first two seasons.
Well,
Bears!
I mean, we do need to continue to drill down on Caleb as quarterback and as teammate. That's something that we can't lose sight of just because the offensive coordinator
I think the rest of the year is going to be an opportunity for Caleb to get scrutiny without the offensive coordinator. Now, we're always going to be able to look at what I think was a massive failure, which was the install and the thought process. But a lot of that is going to point to Ryan Poles for me. I referenced it before the break, Lawrence. This idea that Ryan Poles likes to throw quarterbacks into the deep end of the pool. That Poles' theory on quarterbacks being handed the entire offense and the entire keys to everything from the get-go. He did it to Justin Fields last year. After an offseason where they expected Justin to learn and, you know, take the next step, and everybody was all over Getsy for asking Justin to do too much. And I was a guy at that point last year saying, Poles has to be in on this. You don't make a decision like this without Poles believing this is the right thing to do. And we ended up kind of rationalizing it or mitigating it by saying, well, if Justin can't do it, then it works like a soft tank. And you figure out, you get clarity on Justin, and then you move on, and then you get Caleb, right? But here we are now, and Caleb being thrown into the deep end, being given the keys to the entire offense. And here you go. We're not gonna, you know, give it to you like the Patriots are giving it to Drake May and simplify this into college things.
Or even do what Washington's doing with Jaden Daniels, where here's the system that you're comfortable with. We're going to run that, and we're going to add to that.
Correct, and we're going to lean on the running game like crazy for you, the young quarterback. And this is what I thought they would do, that a lot of people around the league thought that they would do with Caleb. Like, hey, let's run the ball. So you're like you're Ben Roethlisberger in his early Steelers days, or like you're Tom Brady in those early Pats days, or Russell Wilson in his early Seattle days. And that's not what they've done. So the corollary is Poles. Because both the quarterbacks were willing to do it. Like you said, Lawrence, Justin was willing to do it because he was Justin.
I'll do it.
I'll give it a shot. Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go for it. Absolutely. And Caleb is like, oh, hell yeah, I can do that.
I can totally do that. I got this.
I got this. Players lead. So the commonality here is Ryan Poles with an imperfect quarterback teaching theory. Now, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, as we know, to find and install and develop one. But they got lucky with Mahomes. But even Mahomes had to watch a year. He watched a year before they asked him to do it.
And had way better teachers.
So Poles is the commonality with throwing Caleb and Justin before that into the deep end. And I think there's something there because that's the guy in charge.
Is that a problem when your barometer for how to operate with a quarterback is like one of the greatest of all time? Like, is that going to skew things a little bit the way you handle your business?
Who had the greatest teacher, one of the greatest teachers of all time, to Lawrence's point, and had a year to sit and watch.
And a quarterback in the room.
A willing quarterback to help him through the process.
Right.
And the thing that I find fascinating, I don't think it's talked about enough when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Here's a guy that's coming from an air pure, like pure air raid system at Texas Tech. And you have Andy Reid, who is Mr. West Coast, right? He sees this guy and he's like, I might be able to marry those two concepts together.
And he takes a year and does it.
And doing it, then you get this incredible, maybe the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen.
In a beautiful system that is a hybrid.
That absolutely fits what it is that he's doing. Like the environment of this matters quite a bit when it comes to it. And it's why I go back to the whole idea of trying to figure out a formula for growing a quarterback is really difficult.
Yep, and this polls thing that I'm talking about, you brought it up last week or a week and a half ago when we let off the 5 o'clock hour with your concerns for quarterback development and how Anthony Richardson ought to still be taking snaps in college, let alone be handed an entire pro-style offense by Shane Steichen.
I think Anthony Richardson is going to find himself being the starting quarterback again soon. Because
two bad games for Joe Flacco.
Because Joe Flacco is like Andy Dalton. A shot of adrenaline immediately because he's competent, but he's still flawed. And Flacco's, well, I guess both their cases, they're old. So there's going to be stuff that they just can't do anymore. And now I think that little burst of energy is worn off. Mm-hmm. And now you go back to the development. But they got all sorts of problems down there in Indy that I think are a little similar to what's going on here. So you'll love this text during the segment. This person texted me and said, just let me know when I can come get all my apologies and explain how the Bears should move forward, kind sir. It's from Sean King. So if we can find a place for Sean King, he's got ideas. He would like to talk to us about the quarterback situation and him having Jaden Daniels ranked ahead of Caleb Williams and people being like, how is that possible? How could anyone do that? And it was Sean. We did ask about Caleb. We asked Kurt Warner earlier today about Caleb and him managing this change with Shane Waldron being out as the Bears OC. This is the advice that Kurt Warner said he would give Caleb Williams if he were to pick up the phone and call him.
The biggest advice you have for anybody in the situation that he's in is, you got to take care of you and the things that you're doing or the things that you can do better. The thing that I always try to tell any quarterback, and it's always harder for a young quarterback, but the things I always try to tell them, you know, the first part of the process is you need to take ownership of the offense. You need to take ownership of what you're going to do moving forward. And what by that I mean, really making sure that you understand what the offense is trying to do. And you make it make sense in your mind and you take ownership for things that you like and things that you don't like, things that you really understand and things that you don't understand. Is that it's very easy for any quarterback, you know, in a system where a coach calls or puts in a play in the playbook and we just go, okay, I'll run it. Like coach put it in, I'll figure out how to run it. And, you know, when that happens, sometimes we're going in and running plays that it's like, gosh, I don't know what I'm doing in this play. I don't feel comfortable with this play, but instead of, you know, rocking the waters at all, we're going to just kind of run whatever we're given. And I've always felt it was very important for quarterbacks to go, you know what? I don't like that. I like this. And then on top of that is to have the information to be able to know what you don't like about something, right? That's the hardest thing for anybody is to go in and know that they don't like a play, but to not really be able to know how to improve that play. So then you're telling the coach, hey, I don't like your play. And if you can't tell them why, then they're just going to kind of throw their hands up and go, well, I like this play. I've run it a million times and it's been successful. So if you can't give me information on why or information on how I can make it better for you, then we're just going to stick with what I've always done because it's been successful.
It's Kurt Warner. Talking about the change of the offensive coordinator. Real quick, Lawrence, just to clarify, the only two times the Bears have made an offensive coordinator change in season, Gary Croton in 2000 when he went to BYU, and when Matt Nagy handed play calling to Bill Lazor.
And then took it back.
That's it. They've never fired an OC midseason until today.
when Kurt says in there, concentrate on the things that you're doing and trying to improve. Any Bears fan can do this if you've got the, you know, the NFL Plus or you've got the game recorded. Just put a stopwatch on Caleb in the pocket. Just see how many times it's going past 3 seconds of him in the pocket. Because that's when you kind of want the ball gone. And these are things where when Kurt's saying, what are you doing right? Are you holding on to the ball too long? Are you doing stuff that you could get away with against Washington State? Because you're the best athlete on the field.
When he tries to scramble sometimes, it does look like some hero play instincts that do not work at this level.
That won't work for him.
Yes.
At this level. And this is like when you were in the scouting process of it on talking about Caleb, and it's like, yeah, he's a more scrambler than runner and an effective scrambler because he is always kind of like, I'm going to keep my eyes downfield and I'm going to look to make plays. But you can see the difference. You can go see like that tackle that doesn't get made when he's playing against, you know, Oregon State. That's a tackle for loss in the NFL because the guys are so much better and they're so much faster. I want to continue to give him time to calibrate. It takes a while. So I want to keep giving him time to figure it out. But it does scare me that midway through the season, he still thinks some of that stuff is going to work. The other part of the problem is the marrying of what the offensive coordinator is doing and what the quarterback thinks he sees or is expecting to see.
Well, here we go, an opportunity for a new OC.
Well, I think that some of the reason that Caleb's holding on to the ball really for a long time is because of the route concept. Like, some of it is him getting to the top of the drop and being like, wait a minute.
Where am I supposed to go?
No one's open.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I supposed to do? I guess I'll wait. I'll climb the pocket a little bit and too late. Like, once that happens, it's too late. And maybe we're seeing the wrong, like you were saying earlier, Speaks, we're probably seeing the wrong guys doing the wrong things.
Yes.
Inside of the Bears offense. And maybe Thomas Brown can clean that up.
Uh-huh. Maybe Thomas Brown is, but he's the passing game coordinator. So you wonder, has he been on board with this stuff?
Right. That's working in the concepts that your offensive coordinator, like that's him not doing a mutiny. You know what I mean? Like it could be just like, okay, this is what the OC wants. I've given him my feedback. Now I'm going to implement what the OC wants us to do.
Can't wait until the Bears beat Sports City Hall gets a chance to talk to Thomas Brown on Thursday. I'll be very interested to find out whether wide receiver roles are changing.
Yeah, because that could be an issue here too.
I think it has been.
And trying to figure out, like, if you believe that the guys on the Bears offense are weapons, and we've seen each one of these guys individually be weaponized. We've seen it in Keenan Allen's career, and we saw it a few games ago with Keenan Allen. We've seen it in DJ Moore's career as a Bear, and we saw it a few games ago. We've seen Cole Kmet's career as a Bear and him kind of steadily improve from year to year to being one of the better tight ends in the league. How can you and DeAndre Swift, like, what's the best way to use him? Rome is still building his NFL resume, but you do see some stuff that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Can you figure out the best way to deploy these guys and make it easier for Caleb to do his thing? And can you coach out what might be some bad habits? I hope that they're bad habits, Speaks, and not a fatal flaw with Caleb. My concern is that when he talks about his career, he needs to stop talking about USC. That's over with.
Yeah, and that adversity, I mean, yeah. Yeah, we've got time to look into Caleb. Are we gonna there's other Bears news today?
Yeah.
Because an old option seems to have resurfaced as a new option, and it speaks to the power structure. It speaks to the mad scramble and the public's lack of an appetite for public money going to help them as well.
And a relationship that has just been born of opportunity. We will talk about where the Bears think they're going to move next on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help from mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.